Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
And now for a legal news update. The Discovery Institute applauds a federal U.S. appeals court's decision to throw out the judge's rulings against evolutionist claimers on textbooks. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit has thrown out the trial court decision in the Selman v. Cobb County case, which had previously ruled that evolutionist claimers on science textbooks were unconstitutional. In a unanimous decision, the federal three-judge panel, which included both Democratic and Republican appointees, stopped short of deciding the constitutionality of the stickers and instead sent the case back to the trial court judge with instructions to hold more evidentiary hearings on the issue. This decision is a victory as it throws out the problematic ruling from the trial court. Essentially, the appellate court judges found that some of the findings of the lower court were not substantiated by the evidence in the record, so now new evidentiary hearings must be held, which could completely change the trial court's original ruling against the school district. This is a major step and a bigger victory for students, school districts, and objective science education. For more information, visit evolutionnews.org.
The following interview was conducted before the Court of Appeals threw out the trial court decision ruling that evolution disclaimers on science textbooks were unconstitutional. You're listening to ID the Future, a podcast on intelligent design and the debate over evolution, originating from Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. I'm Robert Crowther, Director of Communications for the Center for Science and Culture. And joining me today is Casey Luskin, who is a program officer for public policy and legal affairs with the Center. Casey is a scientist with a law degree from University of San Diego. He has written extensively about the legal aspects of the debate over evolution in such publications as the Journal of Church and State. And he's also the co-author of a recently published critique of the Dover ruling entitled Traipsing into Evolution, Intelligent Design, and the Kitzmiller versus Dover Decision. Welcome, Casey.
Thanks again for having me, Rob.
I'm glad you could be here. I really wanted to talk a little bit today about what people refer to as the Selman versus Cobb County case, and maybe you could explain what it is and how it relates to the debate over evolution.
Sure. Well, this entire case is actually over a disclaimer sticker that was put in the biology textbooks in a school district in Cobb County, Georgia. And the sticker says, this is what the text of the sticker reads. It says, this textbook contains material on evolution. Evolution is a theory, not a fact, regarding the origin of living things. This material should be approached with an open mind, studied carefully, and critically examined. And there was a trial that took place, Rob, in November of 2004, where a number of plaintiffs claimed that this textbook disclaimer is actually unconstitutional. So that's what this case is all about.
And this was a federal trial, is that right?
That's right. It was a trial that went to court in the federal courts in the state of Georgia.
And what was it that the judge decided in that trial?
Well, the judge actually found that the sticker was unconstitutional, but it's very interesting to understand the reasons of how he arrived at that conclusion. He actually found that the school district had the legitimate secular purpose of trying to promote critical thinking and diffuse community controversy over evolution by including this disclaimer in the textbook. However, when he looked at what would the alleged objective observer in the community, how would they perceive the sticker, he wrote that on the whole, the sticker would appear to advance the religious viewpoint of the Christian fundamentalists and creationists who were vocal during textbook adoption process regarding their belief that evolution is a theory, not a fact, which students should critically consider. So this is very interesting, Rob, because what he actually said is that because the school district adopted a policy which had been advocated by a number of Christians, that therefore they had done something unconstitutional. So in my opinion, this actually is a grave threat to the religious freedoms and religious liberties of religious people to advocate for a position in the public square. What the judge said is that if the government agrees with the viewpoint of the religious people, even if it itself is not necessarily a religious viewpoint, if they just happen to agree with it and the religious people are advocating it, then the government has done something unconstitutional.
How does that relate to things like civil rights?
That's a very good question. It's very well known that the whole civil rights movement in the United States, which brought freedom to many African Americans and many minorities in this country, was heavily advocated for by churches and by religious people, and was in many cases explicitly motivated by religion. And many good things were achieved by the civil rights movement. But if we're to apply these very dangerous rules fairly, they would actually threaten the constitutionality of civil rights laws, simply because religious people advocated for civil rights.
Well, I know that after the judge had this kind of controversial ruling and they told the school district that they had to remove these stickers from the textbooks, that the district appealed this to a federal appellate court. Can you tell us the status of that?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Rob. The school district appealed the ruling against them, and it went to the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals, and I believe that the case was heard in December of 2005. And right now, as of early May 2006, we have still not heard what the Court of Appeals is going to decide in this case, so we'll just have to wait and see. But it is on appeal, and it's entirely likely that this decision could get overturned. It's a very, very, almost, I would say, bizarre ruling and legal reasoning from the district court in this case.
So you think that there's a possibility that the appellate court may overturn this? And that's actually a number of judges on the appellate court looking at this. Is that right?
That's right. When you're at the trial level, at the district court level, there's only one judge. But when you get it to the appeals court level, there's actually a three-judge panel. And truly, the reasoning that was used by the district court judge in this case is very strange. To say that simply because religious people advocated for a position, that therefore, when the government adopts that position, is unconstitutional, I don't know of a single case that has ever held anything quite like that. And it's very obvious this is a threat to religious liberties in this country, and it simply doesn't deal with the fact that there are many legitimate scientists who, based upon peer-reviewed literature, believe that evolution is possible to be critiqued. So, you know, that argument was really not addressed in this case. So I think that school districts do have the right to critique evolution if they want to do so, regardless of whether or not religious or unreligious people happen to agree with that position.
I was especially interested in the fact that the sticker at issue here simply says at the end that students should approach this subject with an open mind. And I know that that bothered some people.
Yeah, you know, it's really hard to imagine how could anyone oppose this very benign disclaimer, which just says evolution is a theory, not a fact. This material should be approached with an open mind, studied carefully, critically examined. We're not talking about anything that is very inflammatory here. Now, I do want to make the point, Discovery Institute, we don't necessarily advocate going around using this "the evolution is just a theory, not a fact" line. We recognize that there are definitions for theory out there in the scientific community where when you say something is a theory, that might be taken to actually say that it is very well supported by the data. So it's possible that they were using definitions of theory here that were not entirely consistent with how at least some scientists use the word. But all in all, I mean, this is a very benign and, in my opinion, should have been very uncontroversial disclaimer. It just shows how far the Darwinists are willing to go to try to insulate the theory of evolution from any criticism whatsoever. They don't want it to be studied carefully or critically examined. Otherwise, they wouldn't have filed this lawsuit.
Well, that's interesting, and it will be interesting to see what the appellate court rules on this. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us today, Casey.
Thanks a lot.
If you're listening today and are interested in the debate over how to teach evolution, interested in education policy as it relates to subjects like evolution, please visit our website for more information at www.discovery.org/CSC. And be sure to visit our daily blog on intelligent design issues at www.idthefuture.com. I'm Robert Crowther for IDTF at the CSC in Seattle. Thank you for listening.
Music on ID the Future comes courtesy of composer Yuri Mamchur. Visit www.yuriproductions.com and check out his latest CD, In the Harbor. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Discovery President is Bruce Chapman. ID the Future Managing Editor is Robert Crowther. And the producer is Keith Pinnock. ID the Future and ID Science in the News is copyright Discovery Institute 2006. For more information, visit www.discovery.org or www.idthefuture.com.